late one night in the summer of 2014, when my wife, Brianne, was very pregnant with our second child, she was having trouble sleeping, and something happened that would change the course of her life. Perhaps it was chance. I think it was a nudge by the Holy Spirit, but she found herself doing an internet search on capital punishment, a practice she has long been appalled by, and stumbled across a website with the profiles of men on death row in Texas who were looking for pen pals. As she was scrolling, she paused on the name and picture of a man named Romero. They were the same age. They both grew up on farms. They were both Christian. 13 years previous, a then 18-year-old Romero was directionless, hopeless, and severely addicted to drugs. Drugs he turned to as a teenager to cope with the trauma of sexual abuse he had experienced as a child. In this state of brokenness, he committed the worst crime a person can commit. He was caught and sentenced to death by the state of Texas. While, of course, repelled by his actions, Brianne was also drawn in by the genuine remorse Romero displayed and how he described the relationship to God he developed over his years in prison. There was something going on here with this person beyond the crime. And so with letters back and forth over months turned to years, this mom from Toronto and this death row inmate from Texas became friends. They came to know each other and to mutually appreciate that no one can be universally defined by the worst thing they have done or the best thing they have done. We are each complex creatures, a composite of genetics and trauma, celebration and cultural influences. This all forms the tapestry of our lives, but at the core, at our essence, we are all children of God, an inheritance and identity that transcends all we have done or not done. And like all friendships, the one that has blossomed between these two people living very different lives is built on mutual support. She has been to Texas several times, is in constant contact with his lawyers, and has helped him reconcile with people in his life. He has supported her over these years, as she felt the Spirit's nudge once more and answered a call to ministry. He has celebrated her successes. He has created works of art for our children and others that express our shared faith, like the one on your bulletin covers. There will be a time, perhaps as early as this summer, where all the legal appeals will run out and Romero will be executed by the state of Texas. He will be strapped to a table. Poison will be injected into his body and he will die. But there, at the end of all things for him, when the state gets its vengeance and the worst thing people can do to each other is done to him, he will not be alone. He has asked for Brianne to be his spiritual advisor, and she has accepted. So when the time comes, she will be there with him. This mom, now minister from Toronto, will likely be the first foreigner and the first woman to ever be in a Texas death chamber in this role. Romero has not felt a compassionate touch on his body in 22 years. But at the end of all things for him, he has asked that Brianne's hand be on his chest, bringing her friendship, bringing her love as his heart beats its last. She will be there. She will bear witness to the worst thing we do to each other. Having been led there by the Spirit, she will not leave. She will not leave. Each year on this day, we remember the crucifixion of Jesus, not to mythologize it, not to sanitize it, not to spiritualize it, but to remember that the one we call Lord and Savior was executed by the state with the approval of the religious establishment. His witness to love was so challenging. His proclamation of a new kind of kingdom that Caesar could not rule was so disruptive to those in power that he was arrested for sedition, he was tortured, humiliated, nailed to a cross, and he died. This is a very hard story, and it may seem very far from our everyday reality. However, on this day, we are challenged to locate ourselves within the story, to be confronted when in our lives we have been like Peter. When have we denied Christ over and over again because claiming him was too dangerous or perhaps too embarrassing for us? And when, I wonder, have we been Caiaphas? When are the times when we would have done anything to keep the peace, even if it required scapegoating or throwing someone under the bus? And when, I wonder, have we been Pilate, the one who holds all the cards, when we have chosen by our actions or inactions to perpetuate cycles of violence and vengeance? And when have we been the soldiers, just doing what we're told? Or perhaps when we have belittled or mocked or piled on or kicked someone when they're down? And when have we been the crowds and fallen into mob mentality? When have we been the ones to cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him"? And when? When in our lives have we been like the women who journeyed alongside Jesus to the cross? When have we been the ones led by the Spirit to bear witness? Each year we tell this story, this hard story, to be reminded that our faith leads us to the foot of the cross, to the very worst thing that we can do to each other. And even if every fiber in our being tells us to turn and flee, we do not. Our faith demands that we go into the hard places of this world to offer a compassionate touch, to see each other as fellow children of God, to stare into the face of empire and to not back down, to be like the women who would not leave, those who offer comfort and strength, friendship and love. On this day, we are challenged to be like the ones who would not leave, so that at the end of all things for us, and we are confronted with the question, "Were you there?" we can say, "Yes, though I was scared and wanted to flee, even at the foot of the cross, I was there. I did not leave. I did not leave."